You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
We are back, and on the first podcast of the new season, we look at United's campaign so far, discuss how the new recruits are doing, as well as looking at the youngsters in reserves review. Player and Cabbage are back as normal, along with some new features.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Hello and welcome to what is a brand new season of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, you had a good summer? What have you been up to?
Summer was all right, yeah. Nothing too eventful. Obviously, I met with you a few times, Steve, for a few drinks. But we won't go into the details. But it was lively, if anyway. Nothing too much going on, really. Just been watching a lot of football. And I've taken up golf as well, so I've got a new pastime to keep myself active with.
And how are you doing, Dov?
I'm good. Same as Dan, really. Quite a quiet summer. Enjoying the sunny weather. Going to the beach a lot. Although, I did get my laptop stolen in Florence, so watch out for thieves in Florence. But I bought a new one, so it's all good.
Every cloud and all that, Dov? Every cloud?
Yeah, I decided to upgrade as well. So if you really saw... I was like trying to kind of make myself feel better for being robbed.
Good stuff. Well then, guys, we'll move on to discuss United matters. And it's been a pretty decent start to the season, hasn't it, from the opening set of fixtures. Just the one draw against Benfica in the Champions League on Wednesday night. And, what better place to start than that game? Don't want to say it was an experimental side put out by Ferguson, but obviously a lot of changes from the team that's been playing in the Premier League. Anders Lindegaard obviously shone as he come in for De Gea. Just what's your thoughts on the performance and the evergreen Ryan Giggs? How many times have we said that on this show?
Yeah, I mean, I thought with the team that we put out, it could have been a tricky game, but I think Ferguson said after the game that once we scored the goal, we seemed to settle down in the second half. We looked in control of the game, really. There was only a few occasions where Lindegaard was forced into action second half. But I thought that he was possibly our man of the match, Anders Lindegaard, you know, stepping in for De Gea as well, who had a good game against Bolton. And I thought he played really well. A few top quality saves, and he looks like he's going to be a really decent backup goalkeeper, but, you know, he's going to be able to pressure De Gea as well.
I was just going to say, do you not think Lindegaard will be going up to Ferguson and saying,
listening to the Red Cafe,
I deserve my chance now
podcast.
In the first team, in the bigger games, I've proved I can do it. Obviously, De Gea has made a couple of mistakes,
podcast.
So why can't I be given a chance?
Well, the thing is, De Gea played well against Bolton, didn't he?
Post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Spurs as well. So he's not done too bad. I mean, I know he's made a few errors, possibly in the Charity Shield and at West Brom. But apart from that, I think he's been pretty solid. His distribution's very good. He sets us on a lot of attacks, which is part of our game, the counter-attacking, especially away from home. So I think both keepers are going to be a good asset, and, you know, it's good for the club to have two quality goalkeepers there. I think I mentioned in pre-season to you, Steve, when we met up, you know, I thought Lindegaard was really good, didn't make any mistakes on the Tour of America. And, he looks positive and confident.
And, Dov, what's your thoughts on this one, the whole Lindegaard-De Gea situation? I mean... considering the money Ferguson spent to bring him to Old Trafford, De Gea, that is, do you think it's going to be a case of, well, he's just going to put his faith in him completely this season, however many mistakes or little errors he makes? Or do you think there is a chance for Lindegaard if the errors maybe continue to creep in?
I think you've got a chance, but I think as well that if Fergie does take De Gea out for making mistakes, then what is it going to do to his confidence? I think Fergie's basically trying to make him feel like the number one, which he is the number one, and just say, well, you can make mistakes, but learn from your mistakes and you keep your place. And I think Lindegaard, with his performance on Wednesday, he's got the ability to really push De Gea as well, which I think will be good for the youngster, because, well, he is a young keeper. And It's quite annoying, the criticism for me that he's got, like, for making one or two mistakes. And the one thing that really bugged me, people keep saying he looks like a little boy and he doesn't fill out the shirt. I mean, when does
Ray
that
Wilkins
matter?
Ray Wilkins got that last night on Sky.
Yeah, when does that matter if a goalkeeper fills out the shirt or not? I think who else? Jamie Redknapp said it as well. It doesn't
matter. Redknapp? It might be Redknapp then.
Mm. Yeah. It's been on like Five Live, things like that, and I've been listening to the radio. They keep talking about how he just looks like a skinny little boy, but from what I've seen, it looks like he's going to be a really, really good goalkeeper.
Well, look at Lloris, you know, the Lyon goalkeeper. I mean, he's not exactly massive, is he? He's a similar build to De Gea, and, well, his size has never hindered him in the past. He's always done really well whenever I've seen him play, so... Well, it doesn't really matter, I don't think, consider a goalkeeper's size and sort of stature. As long as they're making the saves, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Well, you wouldn't say Edwin van der Sar was a tank, really, was he?
Guys, can we get some closure on how you pronounce David De Gea? De Gea? I think I've said both versions since the start of the pod today, and obviously various pundits have called him by both names, so... Have you got any idea of what it exactly is, what the proper pronunciation is?
I think for terms of consistency on the podcast, we need one way of saying it. Whether it's right or wrong, we need to at least stay consistent down the line.
Need to get him on the show just to sort of clear that up, De Gea or De Gea. I'm sure it is generally, but we don't seem to have
buying David.
Yeah. Good stuff, and well, Dan mentioned the 5-0 win over Bolton, guys. Emphatic victory, and well, the return of Javier Hernandez. It didn't seem like he'd been gone, did it? I mean, him and Rooney hitting it off just as they did last season, and it looks like it's going to be a really fruitful partnership again this season.
No, like, Rooney started the season in amazing form, and obviously Hernandez coming in, and he looks sharp as well. I mean, it's probably a good job we started the season late, to be honest, because it's been such a great start to the season. And the movement between the front two against Bolton was fantastic as well. And what was it? His second hat-trick in two games for Rooney. So, and there's not really too much to complain about, to be honest.
No, I mean, even the Bolton game was significant for Phil Jones as well, stepping in at right back after Smalling played two games for England. My man of the match. Well, he would have been man of the match if it weren't for Rooney getting a hat-trick. You know, I thought he played really well. He looks like a top quality player. And I remember when we were talking about him coming in, you know, in the summer, and people were a bit sceptical about it. But I saw him at Blackburn. He's top quality, and I think he'll be really, really good in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be honest. At the very start, when we were sort of linked with Phil Jones, I was a bit sceptical. I wasn't sure whether that sort of money was the right sort of player to be bringing in. But he's proved me completely wrong, hasn't he? I mean, was it about 16 million we paid for him, something like that? And he's been well worth the outlay. And I think you can see, sort of just by his attributes and the way he started and his build and his physique, I think he's a future England captain. He really is. People have, sort of pundits have mentioned that, and I completely agree that he's going to go a long way in the game. And it's just great that we've managed to get hold of him, really, and got there ahead of some of the other clubs who have been linked with him. And... I'd say he's in the Vidic mould, really. Just he's sort of tough tackling.
I think Phil Jones is a bit more technical as well on the ball. You know, I think I'd see him actually as more of a Rio Ferdinand, but a bit harder. You know what I mean, I know Rio's. You know how I rate Rio Ferdinand. I think he's still one of the best centre halves in the world when he's fit and playing. You know, he can do everything, but I think Phil Jones. I mean, I know he's only 19, 20, or whatever, but. There's so much potential there. And even, you know, the other centre-half, Johnny Evans, has come in and not really made any mistakes. I mean, the goal last night against Benfica, maybe you could have a bit of a pop at him, but, you know, he's one-on-one, he's been left one-on-one, and it was a good finish and a good touch. So I think it would be harsh to, you know, to criticise him for that goal. But I think, in general, Johnny Evans has been really good as well. And Smalling, when he's slipped in at centre-half and when he's played at right-back, been faultless. So... All along the back four, really, even with Patrice Evra as well, who was a bit shaky last year, he started steadily as well. So, defensively, we looked brilliant.
Just briefly, looking back at the results from August, guys, obviously the 3-2 victory over Manchester City in the Community Shield, fantastic comeback and a wonderful team goal as well, wedged in amongst those three. 2-1 win over West Brom. Obviously, the De Gea era has been highlighted and discussed. To no end. the 3-0 win over Tottenham, and then the 8-2 demolition of Arsenal. How much did you enjoy that one, guys?
That was amazing. It was one of my favourite ever games watching United. It was just great. It was good as well, seeing them not stopping when they got to maybe five, thinking, right, okay, we've done enough damage, and they just got, let's go, let's actually just give them the worst result in their history against what a team that they were equal to not so long ago. So, I mean, it shows as well how far, well, we've came and how sort of far they've gone as well. Like, the gap between the two sides is quite large nowadays as well. And I think it's, I don't know, it's quite telling that Fergie's kind of trying to be friendly, or being a bit more friendly with Arsene Wenger as well, kind of showing him a bit more sympathy. Whereas before, obviously, it's quite a heated rivalry and they didn't really like each other too much. And now it's more like, sorry, Arsene, we're just better than you.
I thought we could have got more goals in that game. There was a few chances where we could have put even more misery on them. But like you say, I mean, Arsenal weren't full strength. But to tear a team up 8-2 is pretty emphatic. And it was the quality of the goals. They weren't all tap-ins or anything like that. They were all decent strikes. I mean, the Ashley Young ones were brilliant. And the free kicks from Rooney. And then Annie Little Chip as well was good. So,
what about Ashley Young's start to his Manchester United career, guys? I have to say, I was surprised, to be honest, at how well he's adapted, because I know he's had plenty of experience at Villa now, and he's obviously got England caps too, but it's a difficult step up from a club like Villa to having to win sort of every game and perform well every game for Manchester United. And he's taken on the task really well, and he's been superb, been one of our best players so far this season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Steve. I'm really surprised that he's came in and done so well. I mean, he was, to be honest, I never really rated him as highly as a lot of people did. I thought he was maybe a little one-dimensional, but he came in and he's been amazing. He's probably been a bigger surprise to me than Phil Jones, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Well, I hold my hands up, because, I mean, I didn't really like Ashley Young. I mean, every time he came on for England, I thought, oh, why are we bringing this joker on? He never did anything for England for me. And I sent him for Villa a few times. Yeah, he played all right, but maybe that's a step up that you need sometimes, playing with better players in a United team where you're going to get more of the ball, you're going to get more space to create chances. You've obviously got better players in and around the box to supply. So he's been fantastic, really. And his attitude, he's a hard worker. He gets back and tackles as well. And he's decent on the set pieces as well. But he's intelligent. And him and Evra seem to work in tandem very well together on the left-hand side. And it's going to be interesting to see throughout the season, really, if he continues to play on the left, or whether Nani swaps over to give Valencia a run out as well, because obviously Valencia only played for the first time yesterday. So it'll be interesting, really, to see how it develops.
I think it as well gives the side that kind of fluidity, like from 2008, because you've got Young and Nani who can both play on either side. Obviously Rooney can play all across the front, so they can interchange as well, which I think has been helping us this season and will help us when we get further into the Champions League as well.
And without prompting too much of an argument between you two at this early stage of the season, guys, one Dimitar Berbatov, obviously loads of debate between you two since we first started the pod over him and his value to United. But to my recollection, he hasn't played so far this season, I don't think, competitively anyway. So what's your thoughts on his situation? Obviously laughing and joking during the Benfica game the other night. I think we were 1-0 down at the time as well. So I think just less than a year now left on his contract. So what do you think's going to happen in terms of his future? And do you think he's going to get plenty of games still this season?
I think he'll still be used. We're only a few games into the season. The most interesting, if we were losing games, then you could say, well, why has he not put Berbatov in? But the way we started the season, the team that we started with, you can't really take anybody out, can you, really?
Will he get enough games, though? I mean, you look at the competition for places now in the side. Look at Danny Welbeck, who's obviously set to return, hopefully, within the next couple of weeks. And he's been banging in the goals early season. Diouf's got a couple of goals for reserves at the start of the season as well. So there's plenty of competition for places.
Yeah, the thing with young players, though, I mean, you know, Welbeck won't play very well all season. You know, he'll have times where he's, you know, not playing so well. Then you've got to play by Owen and Berbatov, who can step in as well. I think that he'll be used. You don't use a player like that, do you? Maybe he's saving him for the big games. Who knows?
Well, they'll not be saving him for the big games. Dan, he doesn't play in the big games. You know that.
He's a very good player. You know, the thing with Berbatov is he's been unlucky in the fact that Welbeck had a really good pre-season and came back from Sunderland last season playing well as well. So Fergie believed in giving him a chance and Welbeck's taken it. And, you know, Berbatov can't do anything else apart from just keep doing well in training, which apparently he's been doing. So he's just got to wait for his chance. And I'm sure when he gets it, he'll bang in a hat-trick and then everyone will be like, oh no, who do we play now?
I think you're right. I think as well there'll be games where kind of his style will be sort of more suited to the game, whoever it may be against. Whereas if you play like one of the guys like Welbeck or Hernandez, it won't be as sort of effective. And I think that's where he'll be used as well. And it, to be honest as well, he's a good option to have because he's completely different from pretty much every other striker we've got. So.
Also, I mean, I thought he'd play yesterday though. I thought he would have played yesterday and maybe put Rooney on the left, but they played Park. So, you know, and plus we had Fletcher yesterday who's not played, Valencia's not played, Park's not really been a, you know, in the first team this season, you know, all the way through. So he was given a few, you know, players there some game time. So maybe if you put Berbatov in as well, it might, you know, just upset it a little bit. But I think it'll be fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
We haven't even mentioned one Federico Makeda.
I'm not sure Makeda myself, personally. I just don't think he's going to cut it. Even when I watched the reserves, I don't think he did brilliantly well anymore because Deuce outshone him up to now.
Do you not think it's odd as well that he never moved in the summer? Because like, I thought at least they would have got another loan to Premier League.
Was he not meant to be going to Newcastle on loan or to Sunderland? And it just didn't seem to happen on the last day. You know, Sunderland are crying out for strikers. They've only got, well, now that Jan's gone, they've only got Wickham and Bentner. You know, they're crying out for another striker, really. So, maybe he didn't want to go. Well, the amount of strikers that we've got, I'd probably, if I was him, I'd go out on loan for a year in the Premier League. You know, we've got Berbatov, Owen, Chicharito, Rooney, Diouf, Welbeck. That's six off the top of my head.
Possibly what's going through his mind is that he feels he might be completely out of the picture if he goes away on loan and maybe doesn't do as well as he would hope to, and then think, well, there's maybe no way back for me then. But at least if he stays, I suppose, in and around the camp at United and gets a few goals for the reserves and then maybe scores in the Carling Cup, he's back in the first team picture again.
Well, the league game, the Carling Cup game against Leeds will be interesting to see what side Ferguson puts out, striker-wise.
Yeah. Well, Makeda was one player that didn't go out in the summer, but there was certainly plenty of departures elsewhere. John O'Shea and Wes Brown obviously went to Sunderland, Gabby Overtan to Newcastle, Owen Hargreaves to Manchester City, and obviously Scholes and Van der Sar retired. So what's your thoughts on those sales and departures?
Well, I think John O'Shea being let go is a complete travesty, and Fergie should have somebody take him into a dark room and hit him over the face with like a fish or something, because that's ridiculous. It's John O'Shea. I bet he scores against us when we play Sunderland. I'll put money on that.
I think he's probably the one player that we actually deliberately miss and put over the bar.
It was probably the best move for him, though, really, because obviously he'll play a lot at Sunderland.
And when he's captain as well.
Obviously, the fact that Smalling last year was really good, and you've got Raphael, you've got Fabio, you've got Jones now as well, who can fill in at right back. You know, he's not really going to get too many opportunities. And I think Ferguson, it seems to have decided, like, over the summer, like, I'm going to go with youth again. He's got rid of a lot of the old players. I know that Van der Sar and Scholes have retired. Hargreaves was 30, was he? 31, something like that. And he's been let go. Obviously lost Gary Neville. And I think he's gone with younger players. O'Shea was knocking on to 30. You know, Wes Brown was as well. So we got rid of a lot of the older players and brought them in with new, fresh players. So I think it's good for the club. Obviously, we've got a good solid base now for the next 5 years at least and then further.
In terms of players in, guys, obviously we mentioned them all, De Gea, Jones and Ashley Young. Missed out on Wesley Schneider, though, if reports are to be believed, that we were pretty close to bringing him in, but that didn't materialise in the end. Obviously, Anderson and Tom Cleverley have done brilliantly well so far in the centre of the park since the start of the season. So is Schneider such a big miss, Dov, or do you think we've got enough in there with the options we've currently got to cope for the rest of the season?
Well, I think obviously getting him would have been a massive coup because he's a top quality player. But I think the reason we never got him was basically because the way that Anderson and Cleverley played, I think that kind of swayed Fergie a little bit. Obviously, there was issues around about his wages and things like that, but I'm sure that could have been sorted out if United, if Fergie really, really wanted to get him in. But I think the performance of those two really just sort of changed his mind a little bit. And like Anderson's been fantastic. I think he's just been, he's kind of realised, we've been saying it for maybe a couple of years, that right, he needs to kind of take his chance. But like they started the season, like this is him taking his chance, and he's been like dominant in like every single game that he's played in. It's been fantastic for me, because I think he's a great player. And I think as well, when Nani was, we were saying, is he going to not be good enough? Is he going to make it United? I think Anderson's kind of sort of hit that stage as well, and he's looking like he's going to do something. So it'd be quite good. I still think we needed to get a central midfielder in. I think later on in the season, it might come back to haunt us. So I don't know. I still think we needed somebody in, especially since we lost Hargreaves as well, and like Fletcher's had what, this mysterious virus as well. So I don't know how long it'll take him to get back up to full fitness. But I think because we should have done one more piece of business in the summer.
So in that case, Dov, do you think there should have possibly been more of a push for like a Nasri or a Modric? Obviously, Nasri ended up going to City, but he was linked with us before that. And then I know Chelsea have been the sort of main contenders for Modric, and Spurs seemingly unwilling to sell at any price, but we didn't really seem to go for him and really sort of put a concrete offer on the table or anything like that. So do you think we should have maybe pushed a bit harder for those two in particular, or do you think Ferguson sat there thinking, well, Cleverley and Anderson have done so well up to now. There's enough strength in depth in terms of the likes of Fletcher, Gibson, Carrick, Giggs. There's plenty of options in central midfield. So is he thinking he's happy with his lot?
Yeah, I just think that's what he's done. I think he'll give them a chance till January. If it doesn't happen in January, then he can always go and buy somebody if that doesn't work, or wait until next summer, because I think Snyder's going to leave it sooner or later. So whether or not it comes to United, because he does want to come to United. Like he's kind of set his heart on it, to like playing for United. So whether or not he gets a move next summer or like depend on the players or how the players have got play this season. Things with Nasri as well. I think, do you think maybe Arsene Wenger was thinking, right, I'm not going to sell you Nasri, I'm sorry. You sold me Mikel Silvestre, so we're not going to do that again. But yeah, I don't know. It's odd. Like we were an attacking central midfielder was going to be like pretty much the first priority, and it seems like it again hasn't been sorted, or a transfer in a way.
Well, we'll certainly see if anything transpires come the January transfer window. But moving on to a new feature now. Well, an adapted feature, shall we say? It's a Cabbage and Player of the Month this time instead of every week. That's because of the new format of the show, for anyone who's not sure. Basically, we'll be producing a podcast every month or so now instead of every week. So hopefully something to look forward to on a monthly basis now. But we'll start with Player of the Month then. Dan, who'd be your pick? Certainly plenty to choose from.
I'm going to go with Anderson. I think he's been phenomenal all season. Obviously, it was Wayne Rooney's up there with his goals. But I think Anderson, driving force from midfield. Delighted with him.
Duff, who are you going for?
I was going to go with Anderson as well, because I think he's been fantastic. But since Dan's already gave him an accolade, I'll go with Phil Jones. I think he's came in and he's been immense when he's played at centre-back, and he did a really, really good job at right-back as well. So he can be my player of the month so far.
Good stuff. Well, I'm torn, really, between Mr. Rooney or Ashley Young. Obviously, Rooney's made a superb start to the season, scored plenty of goals. And Young as well has chipped in with a few, and of course a few assists too. So I think I'm going to go Young, just because of the way he's adapted and settled into the expectation of life at Old Trafford. And hopefully there's plenty more to come from him throughout the season. Cabbage of the month then. Dov, slightly more tricky this time round.
I'm struggling, honestly, Steve. This is really difficult because I don't think anybody's played badly at all. I'll maybe go with Evra. I think if you're going to pick a player that's played in the majority of the games, I think Evra's not been up to the standard of some of the rest of the guys. That's the terrible excuse you're getting for that one.
Dan?
De Gea, a few mistakes. Obviously, it's a bit harsh, but I think De Gea, a mistake against City in the Charity Shield, the one against West Brom. He nearly let in a goal against Spurs when he didn't need to as well by coming out for that cross. And I think the goal against Arsenal, maybe he could have shut his legs a bit quicker. So, yeah, De Gea. Sorry, David. If he listens, man.
He does, Dan, he does.
Yeah, we're part of his podcast list.
we help him with his English, so he gets all his football terms from us, you see.
You go, yeah. I'm going to have to give it De Gea as well, only because I can't really think of it else. Yeah, for the reasons Dan's mentioned, it's De Gea as well, I think. Good stuff. Right. It's time for a reserves review now. And Dov, you're going to sort of bring us up to speed. There is the reserves in 18 since the start of the season.
Yeah, so there's 8 or 9 games to get through, so I'm not going to delve into exactly what's happened in each and every game. So I'll give you some results and scorers and things like that and who's played well. But Dan's already mentioned one man who's played well, so we'll come to him, I'm sure. Reserves started against Arsenal away, and unfortunately were beaten 2-1. In this game, the big news in this one was that Darren Fletcher played full 90 minutes, but Thomas Kushak was in goals, which is interesting because I don't know if we spoke about this, but he's still at the club. He's supposed to have left. He said, came out, I think, today or yesterday that he was denied a transfer, but I think it's stupid that he's still at the club. Probably the biggest win for the reserves was a 6-0 thrashing of Swansea, and that was sort of late August. Darren Fletcher got another 90 minutes in this one. Federico Makeda scored as well. Paul Pogba got a goal. Diouf as well, he got a couple. So he's been like the one that's been on form for the reserves. We then played Bury and it was 2-0 in that one at the start of September. Now, that was in the Manchester Senior Cup. That was a bit of a young side got out for the reserves. Ben Amos was in there. Will Keane got a start as well. The next game was 2-1 win against Fulham, and this was in the reserve Premier League. Diouf got both goals in this one, and that sort of took his tally 5 goals in the season for the reserves. And the final game was played this evening, being Thursday, and it was a 2-1 win over Rochdale in the Manchester Senior Cup. It was Federico Makeda, he got the winning goal. Will Keane, he got the opener for United as well. And there were 4 Italians in the lineup, which I thought was quite nice. So it was Masacchi, Fornasi, and Makeda, and Petrucci as well. So I like that little bit of an Italian touch in the reserves. Mentioned Diouf, but Pogba as well, he's played in the majority of the games for the reserves, and he's another one who's performed fantastically well, and I expect him to get...
Just interrupt, Dov. I think that Pogba's been brilliant.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I expect him to get in the first team.
Exactly. The games that I've seen him play, he's been playing on the right-hand side of midfield as well, which is... I always thought he was a more central player, but he's been doing a great job out there, so just wanted to throw that in there. I think he'll play against Leeds next Tuesday. Or Wednesday. I think he'll play.
Yeah, on a Pogba note as well, he played for France under-19s against Italy under-19s last week or the week before, and he was amazing in that as well.
Yeah.
So, doing it for club and country as such. So the two performers, Pogba and Diouf, for the reserves. The academy side have been doing not too badly as well, although they started, like the reserves, with a defeat, a 2-1 defeat at home to Portsmouth, although they were on top for long periods in the game. They then played Southampton and were beaten 4-2 in this game as well. Although there was a number of players that had been sort of called up for their international youth sides and such things like that. The goals were from Jordan Turnbull and Jack Barnby, who was here, quite a good game in that one despite the defeat. Then we played Leeds at the beginning of the month, won that 3-1. Tom Lawrence got two goals in that one, and then Jack Barnby, he got the third. And then the sort of fourth game that the academy side have played, it was a 2-0 win over Sheffield United, and then Jack Barnby and then Van Velsen got both the goals in that one. So Jack Barnby's been playing quite well for the academy side as well. I just want to mention one name, although he's not actually played yet, but one of the kind of so the scholars or something, basically the first intake of academy players is a Scotsman called Donald Love. Quite like that, so you should check out him in the future. Well, in the future, he's only 16, but he's been capped for Scotland under 17s as well.
Good stuff, thanks a lot for that, Dov. Well, I've got a new feature for the show now, which is our Twitter roundup, where we basically look at what some of the United players have been tweeting over the last month. And we'll start with Wayne Rooney. Here's one for you, Dan. He's been asking Phil Jones where he got his highlights done, as he's thinking of getting some done himself. would look good on Mr. Rooney?
No, I think he needs to settle what he's got. I think he looks pretty good, actually, doesn't he, to be honest with you?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he looks all right. And your hair's receding a bit. You might have to have a bit of treatment. you were tweeting Wayne one day. Where'd you get it done, Wayne? Can I have to kind of borrow a bit of Josh as well?
Oh dear, Mr. Next time
he gets a goal, just say, can I have your goal bonus, and I'll treat myself to a nice new hairdo or something. Yeah.
Oh dear. There's a good thread actually on Red Cafe with different Rooney hairstyles.
I've seen that.
Brilliant.
Had a little look at it.
Well worth checking out. Rio Ferdinand. There's a mountain of tweets to go through with Rio, so picked out some of the best bits. So talked about Louis Saha being the best number nine that he's playing alongside. So must have been quite a few down the years. So quite a commendation for Mr. Saha. I think
actually, come on, let's name the number nines he's played with.
Every single.
Who was at West Ham? Who was at West Ham? No one in particular. Leeds. Robbie Fowler. Come on.
Oh, Alan Smith. No.
Alan Smith. He's not number nine, is he? Would you class him as number nine?
Maybe.
Robbie Keane, is he classed as number nine?
No, I class him as a 10. A floater. So I don't know, really. Mark Viduka, is he a number nine? I don't know. Lewis Howe was a good player, though. I agree with him.
And as well as a load of other stuff, Rio continued his Twitter tirade with Piers Morgan. I don't know if any of you guys have kept track of that, but he was having some... Because Morgan's an Arsenal fan, so he was having some fun with the 8-2 scoreline, sort of saying, I 8-2. As in, I hate to.
Oh, Steve, you don't have to explain it. I was going to say...
Excuse me.
What's going on?
I've got people's ears out on their phones, that. I'm sorry. Yeah, that one again, I don't know. Oh, I couldn't hold him. Sorry.
Terrible. I was going to say, the Piers Morgan thing, that's been going on for ages. I remember we mentioned that last season.
Yeah,
when it first started, to be talking about Piers having moobs and stuff.
Yeah, that's still in there. The moobs thing, he keeps going back to that. So yeah, good stuff. David De Gea is also on Twitter. David De Gea, apologies. he said he was delighted to win his first title with United when he won the Community Shield, and he was also reveling in the sensational, as he called it, 8-2 win over Arsenal.
Are his tweets all in English?
Yeah, I think he does a version in Spanish and then one in English as well. Obviously now he's joined United, he's got plenty of English followers as well as Spaniards, so it's good that he provides both. So no, I've not been on Google Translate all day trying to work out.
I think he has, though. That's probably what he does, just Google. I'll do it. And then it asks Wayne Rooney if the English is correct. So Wayne, is this right? Yeah, whatever. I'm making beans on toast, leave me alone.
That's probably about right, actually. Kiko McCade has been tweeting a few times saying he's going to train hard this season and he's ready to show everyone what he can do. He's also been watching Forrest Gump as well.
Yes, McCade.
Yeah. Anders Lindegaard, he talked about having a great feeling after playing in the Champions League for the first time on Wednesday night, and he's also been visiting Copenhagen Zoo. So there you go. And he says, this is brilliant, he says the 8-2 win over Arsenal says everything. He says, we're not arrogant, just better. Brilliant stuff from Mr. Michael Owen, God, he loves a tweet, I tell you. loads to go through with Owen. I think more than Rio. He talks about his parents were and still are his role models. They're interested in that. The Rooney and Aguero, they've been his star men so far in the Premier League, being the best players.
Oh, shit.
And just finally, Phil Jones, he says that him and Tom Cleverley have been teaching Wayne Rooney and Johnny Evans a lesson in golf when they went out and played around. Although he said he was carrying Cleverley, or Clevs, as he put it, for the best part of 15 holes. So that's what a few of the lads have been up to during the summer. And
I've got one more. There was a tweet from a Daniel Lomax one. He tweeted at Stephen Darman, the two different lifestyles careers. I'm sure you were better too. And that was in response to a tweet from you asking what Dan was laughing at. And that's as good as I've got.
that was like early on in the Twitter proceedings when I signed up, and I can't remember what it was now.
That was a long time ago.
I've not been on Twitter for a while, I must admit. I'll get back on it. Okay.
Get back involved, get Pester and Rio to get on the show.
Okay. I'll try and get in his magazine or something.
All right then, guys. Well, before we close this month's show, look ahead to the next few games. Obviously, the massive game against Chelsea coming up on the weekend. And then we got Leeds in the League Cup away from home on the 20th of September. And then the 24th is Stoke City away. And then the 27th is Bale in the Champions League at home, who obviously they won 2-1 in their game yesterday, so above us at the moment in the group. So thoughts on, well, I suppose primarily looking at Chelsea, guys, massive game. First, real big test so far. Could say Arsenal, but the team they put out, it wasn't really a test, was it, in the end? So thoughts on those?
I think the Chelsea game will be tough, obviously. A few of their players have come out now saying that they're going to come to Old Trafford and win, which they're not going to do, but I think that it'll be a good test for us, and obviously the young players as well. Cleverley won't play because he's injured, and Welbeck possibly injured as well, so a bit more experience this time around, but I think we'll be fine.
I think as well, with the pace that we've got in attack, I think like John Terry's getting, well, he is getting on a wee bit, and he's lost that, well, the little bit of pace that he did have, and I think Rooney on the form he's on, but like complemented with Ashley Young and Nani, I think he'll struggle as well in the game, so... I don't think we'll lose either. I think we've got enough in the tank in that one. Oh, and as well, Fernando Torres, he's not going to score against us as well, so that's one problem we don't need to worry about.
I hope that doesn't come back to haunt us.
Yeah, I was thinking that after I said it. I think that.
What's your general thoughts on Chelsea, guys? Do you think they're going to still be there come the end of the season, fighting for the title? I think Sir Alex mentioned it in his press conference on the Friday that... He still thinks they're going to be up there fighting come May. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I saw the game on Tuesday against Leverkusen, and I thought Leverkusen were lucky really not to get a point out of that game. I think they played really well, and Chelsea looked shaky at the back for once, whereas normally that's where they're best, isn't it, at the back. So I think there's an opportunity there to get a few goals.
I think as well with Vilas Boas, because he got Morelis and Mata lined quite late on in the transfer window, he needs to obviously work with them a little bit more. I think Mata, he's looked pretty good in the couple of games that he's played. And I think they will be there. I mean, I think this time last season we were saying that Chelsea were going to walk the league because they looked amazing and were thrashing teams 6-0 and whatever else, and look what happened. So I think they'll be in the mix. And I think if they're... thereabouts in January, I think Abramovich will put his money in his pocket, or his hand in his pocket, and get some money out and make a couple of signings again.
And what's your thoughts on Andre Villas-Boas as well? Do you think he's the right man for Chelsea? Do you think he's potentially a better manager than Carlo Ancelotti and can achieve more than what Ancelotti did?
I think it was odd. I think a guy who wins a double in his first season in English football gets the chop in the second is a bit stupid if you ask me, but I think Villas-Boas is a good manager. And I think given time, which is the big issue, given time, I think he'll be a success at Chelsea. So I think that's the only problem, is time, because it's something that you generally at Chelsea you don't get too much of, regardless how many trophies you win.
Okay, well, that just about brings an end to episode 86 and the first show of the brand new season of the RedCafe.net podcast. We'll be back again at the beginning of October, where we'll hopefully be looking back at some more positive results for the Reds. Don't forget, you can email us on the usual address, which is podcast@redcafe.net, with any sort of questions, comments, or just anything United related you want to put to us. And there's also the Facebook group too, if you want to get joined up to that. So we'll be back at the beginning of October, and we'll see you there.